the prophets of the Old Testament were really special people. I mean, they were specially endowed by God to give the message that they had to give. But what also is associated with every single one of the prophets is they were given a message by God of impending judgment. The people were in trouble. They did not do what they were supposed to do. And so as we're coming down through this story, then you've got this, but there's this glimmer of hope that someday the Lord will reestablish his people. The book of Isaiah is one of those prophets. And as you look at the book of Isaiah, it is very much the same thing. The nation of Israel had not lived up to their covenant requirements. They were in trouble. And yet in the midst of the trouble, there was going to be that coming kingdom where everything is established and life is good once again. It is in the midst of this part of the section of Isaiah where he's talking about this coming kingdom that we have the introduction of the servant of God, the servant of the Lord. And it is there that I want us to turn our attention. We're getting close to Easter, and so it's a good time for us to begin considering these things. Now, what we have here at the end of Isaiah chapter 52 is we've got the introduction of the servant of the Lord. And as he is introduced, we basically are given three things in summary fashion about this servant. Next week, we'll be looking more fully at the suffering of the servant in detail. But for today, we see three things that Isaiah is going to be telling us about this servant of the Lord. Verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Isaiah begins by saying the servant will act wisely. And then goes right in to telling us he will be highly exalted. That seems a little bit out of order for us. But yet, this is the way God had given it to Isaiah to deliver to us. He will be acting wisely, no other details given, and he will be highly exalted. The idea here is that this place to which he is being highly exalted is not where anyone else could go. This is reserved especially for God. No one else can sit or be raised up to that place of exaltation. It is reserved for God alone. It seems to be out of order that he is talking about exaltation first. But God obviously has a purpose in doing that. Verse 14, we see excessively disfigured. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Have you ever witnessed roadkill that you don't know what it was? I mean, if it's a deer, the stain on the highway is large enough. You aren't going to miss that was a deer or a cow or something. But if you're with a smaller animal, they get squished beyond recognition. You don't know. Was it a squirrel? Was it a rabbit, a possum, a raccoon? I intentionally left several other small animals out. We've got young listeners here today. But you get the idea. You're looking at this mess that is squished beyond recognition. Well, that's a loaded word, isn't it? Squished. Within that, this is how the servant of the Lord is described. That he is so disfigured by the beating that you can't recognize he is a man, let alone which man he is. And of course, this with us, with our New Testament presentation of it, kind of collides with what else we know. But within this, we can see in Isaiah's prophecy, he's telling the people, you didn't pay any attention to him before he was beaten. You weren't attracted to him. Yeah, sure, he was ordinary in his appearance. There was nothing that really drew you to him. But because you weren't drawn to him, you knew nothing about him. You didn't know how special he was. And because you didn't know how special he was, when he got beaten, you had no account of him. You didn't know who it was. Well, we know from the New Testament that there was a whole crowd there. And they recognized him and they knew who he was. And he went in and he got beaten. And when he came back out, they knew it was the same guy who went in that came out. So that Jesus is the one that is being identified. The key point that Isaiah is making is not that Jesus was unidentifiable. It was that he was beaten so severely. We can get lost in the idea that, well, those guys didn't pay any attention to him. That I think we can miss if we would have been there. We probably would have done the exact same thing. Now, in contrast to you, I may have to go back a while, but have any of you ever had a bad hair day? I mean, that can be bad, but how in the world is that going to compare to having a really bad face day? That's what the servant of the Lord had. He was disfigured. He was marred beyond recognition. Number three, eventual understanding. Verse 15. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him, for what they were told they will see, and what they have not heard they will understand. After Christmas, after we get through Valentine's Day, all of the big box stores begin putting out their outdoor stuff. And you'll see these really nicely decorated watering cans, you know, that only put out a gentle little stream so it can water your small flowers until they get strong and grow. And so when we think of the word sprinkle, it's kind of a happy word. Oh, sprinkle. And so within this idea of the sprinkle, we can think of this as being something pleasant. And yet when you see the reaction to it, you know there had to be something incredibly powerful going on. Because it's saying that the servant of the Lord will sprinkle the nations. And they shut their mouths before him. Something really happened here. You see, the sprinkling is not just a matter of sprinkling so you can rinse off the outside. No, the sprinkling is an indication of the cleansing, not of the outside, but of the inside. It's a washing of the soul. It's having the scourge of sin removed. And so that these that are in high places, dignitaries and kings of these nations, that did not pay any attention to him, are now with sealed mouths looking at, wow, this is the guy who brought the salvation of God to us. There was no one else that could have. No one else had the capability. No one else could have done what he has done. And they shut their mouths. Because they had to be wondering inside themselves, how could we have mistaken his identity so badly? How could we have missed it? And so it's within this that certainly they were contemplating a real problem. We know here that Isaiah continues in his prophecy in that verse of talking about the day that they will recognize him. They will see him for who he is when he comes back and establishes his kingdom. And that is the hope for that remnant, that faithful little group of Israel that will someday fulfill this prophecy. Fortunately, for you and I, we don't have to wait till then. God has already made known in our hearts he is the Son of God. He is the one who can forgive sin. He is the one who can endow us with eternal life. He and he alone, there is no other. And I think sometimes we get busy enough with other things, we fail to remember how important it is we recognize him now, rather than having to wait and recognize him when the only thing we could do is shut our mouth. Instead, he's revealed to us now in his grace. God has given us the ability of realizing who this servant was. It was his son whom he loved and gave that we may have eternal life. That is what he has done for us. And just as it will astound them in that day, should it not astound us now? Should we not be rankled to the core of our being? We have had revealed to us the true identity of the one that changes everything. The servant of the Lord who basically passed through life without any of the leaders of his day checking out his credentials, checking out his background, checking out his works, that they had to shut their mouth. "Oh, woe is us who do know." When we are confronted with a culture, when we are confronted with a people around us that do not recognize who he is. This is not the time. This is not the day to shut your mouth. Is it not the time for us who know to stand and proclaim he is who he said he was? He did what he said he was going to do. And he will come again. And when he does, everyone that has refused to believe in him will shut their mouth. What an amazing God. So within this good news, bad news, this servant of the Lord is going to tell all people, you are condemned if you do not believe in me for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. So that the one who was condemned will condemn everyone that does not recognize him for who he is. Jesus, this servant of the Lord, is declared guilty, but not for anything he did. He is declared guilty for what we did. He was so disfigured. He was so marred for my sin and for your sin. Like I said, anyone want to try a bad face day like he did? I think not. And so we certainly have a call before us that we do not want to be one who has shut their mouth, since we know what we know. We have a responsibility to open our mouth and declare him that others may know too. So today, we have looked at this summary presentation of this servant of the Lord. Next week, we're going to look at this suffering in detail in chapter 53. As I said today, it looked like things were out of order. We know that Christ was identified as someone that should be important but wasn't received as such. He was condemned, he was beaten, he died, and he was raised to glory. And yet in this record, God starts with glory. Obviously, we can know from God's perspective, this servant of the Lord was merely going to be returning to the glory he had previously occupied. For no one else but God could occupy that place of exaltation, that glory. And yet here was God doing that. You know, it's because of human failure that we do not recognize him. We do not esteem him as the servant of God. Yet in the infinite love of God, he has brought us understanding. And it is in that understanding then that certainly we are understanding he was disfigured beyond recognition for me. And each of us can say that. I'm not just saying that individually as a person. I'm saying corporately. We can put ourselves in that. We don't have to wait till he comes again and establishes his kingdom. We get to see it now. Do you recognize this morning how amazing that privilege is? We get to see it now. We get to live it now. So not only do we have his forgiveness, his eternal life, we've got his power. I hope it kind of makes you not want to take it for granted anymore. For someday he will shut the mouths of unbelievers. Today is the day we open ours for his glory. Okay, so we can see here that you know, despite all of the things that would seem to indicate that this servant of the Lord is something special. I mean, you take a look at this glory and then the disfigurement. It's no wonder that the Jewish scholars down through the ages have had a hard time figuring out who this servant is and what he has done. They couldn't figure it out. Neither could we. But God's grace jumped in so that we may know him and his salvation, so that we may receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Though we have not seen him, we do understand who the servant of the Lord is. And that should change us. Father, thank you for this introduction to the servant of the Lord today. Lord, it's amazing how in a short prophecy you have so much packed in there. Lord, no one can stand before you. No one can open their mouth unless you give them utterance. And yet you have commanded us to have utterance to others that they may know also the grace, the gift, the relationship with you that we have received. May we give ourselves to you as you have given yourself to us. In your servant's name, Jesus Christ, amen. I trust that God has spoken to your heart. If you have the desire to leave here and keep your mouth shut, you just might be on the wrong side of the issue. I hope that the joy of knowing of God's love and grace in your life is going to want to make you share it with somebody else. It is the life changer. It is within that I would ask, if anyone had a decision that they would want to make public, please feel free to just get up out of your seat and come up here right now. If God is dealing with something in your heart right now, you can take care of it right where you are. You can come up here and sneak up to the front and pray. You can come up here and kneel on the front to pray. If you come up here and kneel at the front, I guarantee you, one of us will join you, or maybe several of us. But we want to do business with God. Why postpone being a little less better than we could? I know that wasn't good English. I did it on purpose. We want to be what God wants us to be. If there's anyone here today that is feeling like they're on the wrong side of understanding Christ's forgiveness, eternal life, and empowering us to live in a relationship with him all of our days, both in this life and in the one to come, I'd count it a real privilege to be able to share with you from the Word of God how you can know today you can have eternal life. Let us stand. Father, we rejoice in the grace and love you have displayed and placed upon us, that in our lives you reign supreme. We thank you for those times that we can come aside and confess to you, examine our heart, and look for those ways in which we have been less for you than we should. But Lord, through it all, we have seen in your servant, whom we know is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, that he delivered unto us your salvation that no one else could have done. Let us live in that we must share it with others. In Christ's name, amen.